Good evening, everybody. Welcome to Saturday Night Church at San Carlos Community Church. We're glad you're here. Take your Bibles with me, if you would, and open to the book of Galatians, page 972 in your red Bibles in front of you, page 972. We are going to look inward tonight as Brian prayed, and we want to maybe ask ourselves in the power of the Holy Spirit some hard questions tonight, some introspective questions. And as you're turning there, I'll just comment, Flo Lebo did have her open heart surgery yesterday afternoon late after several delays. She's had a really tough week. She had hip surgery on Monday or Tuesday, and then open heart surgery yesterday for a triple bypass. So just pray for her, continue to pray for strength and recovery and healing for her, and calmness for Jerry. Jerry's a kind of a hyper guy. He takes these things really hard, and asks that the Spirit would just give him really, really great peace through all of this as they work through Flo's recovery process. And I know they appreciate your prayers very, very much. And also, you can pray for Jim Moores. He and Becky Winter hear some, and Bob Hicks. Both of them had surgery on their legs Friday as well. So pray for their recovery. Galatians chapter 1, I'm going to start reading in verse 3. Our focus tonight is on verses 10, 11, and 12. Paul writing to the churches there in Galatia because there's this heresy, these Judaizers who have come down from Jerusalem who are insisting that something else needs to be added to the gospel. And Paul is confronting that, and he says, "Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to deliver us from the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be the glory forever and ever." He just starts right out of the box and says, this is the gospel. It's grace. It's peace from God. It comes through the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins. He delivers us from the present evil age, and it's all about the will of God who's done this. It's all to the glory of God the Father. There's the gospel in those three verses. And he goes on in verse 6, and now comes the hard stuff he has to say to them. "I'm astonished that you're so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. Not that there is another one, but there are some who trouble you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we preached to you, let him be accursed. As we've said before, so now I say again, if anyone's preaching to you a gospel contrary to the one you received, let him be accursed." We said last week, literally, in the literal translation, let that person go to hell for changing the gospel, for adding something to Jesus Christ, or trying to add something additional to the gospel. Here's our focus tonight, verse 10. Am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ. For I would have you know, brothers, that the gospel that was preached by me is not man's gospel. For I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it, but I received it through the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Proverbs says this, "The fear of man lays a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord is safe." I'll say that again. "The fear of man lays a snare." It's a trap. "But whoever trusts in the Lord is safe." Proverbs 29:25. We'll talk about that verse in a few minutes here. You see, one of the great questions that we all must ask ourselves and be absolutely certain to answer is, who am I trying to please? Am I living to try and please God with my life? Or am I living to impress men, other people? And if I had to make a guess, which I'm almost absolutely certain of, I think many of us spend our days trying to please other people, to look good in the eyes of other people. And the Apostle Paul finds himself here in the letter to Galatians being accused of walking on both sides of the track. Some are accusing him of trying to please man, and some are accusing him of trying to be a God pleaser. But this letter to the Galatians makes it absolutely clear that Paul has one and only one goal in mind: to please God no matter what with his life. And the one way to please God, he says, is not to waver from the pure message of the gospel: salvation by grace alone, through faith alone, in Jesus Christ alone. And he rises here in his own defense of not being a people pleaser. Look at verse 10 with me again. He says, "For am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Or am I trying to please man?" And his answer is, "If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Jesus Christ." You see, I think the crucial question that comes out of this whole text is, am I trying, as a Christian, as a believer, am I trying to impress men or God with my life? And this question, I think, has deep, deep personal relevance for all of us in the body of Christ. Paul would say, listen, you can't live both ways. It just doesn't work. We can't live to please both men and God at the same time. God's not here to help us win friends and influence people. It's not about that. I think we tend to live with the idea that man's opinion and God's opinion of me should somehow overlap and mesh with each other. Paul would say, listen, he's teaching here that we have to live with a God-centered gospel alone. The two opinions don't overlap and they do not mesh with one another. We must not buy into the religious salesman who tries to give us God on our own terms. Like God's some kind of an addition to this perfect life that we're supposed to live here on the face of the earth. We have to resist that kind of message. You see, there are so many man-centered gospels in this world today, and some are so very, very obvious, and some of them are so very, very subtle, and Paul says we need to resist those other man-centered gospels. The God-centered gospel is justification by faith alone in Jesus Christ alone. It's about reconciling us to God, not about God being reconciled somehow to us. Yesterday, Karen and I were in Aramosillo, and we taking my brother and his wife to the shuttle, and we stopped at Subway and had lunch, and then in Subway there's a little Baskin Robbins there, so you can't resist the ice cream. And I went over to the counter, and I couldn't help but thinking about the message coming this weekend. And there is multiple choices of different kinds of ice cream. You could go right down the line, and you could dip a little here and dip a little there and have it put on it if you want. Listen, the gospel's not like going to the ice cream shop and choosing the different flavors and putting them together. It's not. That's like trying to mix oil and water to add a different gospel to the pure gospel of grace alone, through faith alone, in Jesus Christ alone. It's simply impossible. The question now is, are we trying to impress man or God here? It's either one way or another, but not both at the same time. And as Christians, we need to be attuned to what's being spoken and taught and what we're hearing from the people who are spreading the gospel. Too many times, even in the evangelical circles, I'm hearing that it's a movement of people that's trying to please people rather than reconciling broken people to a holy God. And that leads me to the next point. What's the goal? The goal of our lives cannot be to please people. Paul says here in verse 10, am I trying to please man? Question mark. And it's a question about the goal in Paul's life. And you know what? It should be the question that we ask ourselves. What's the goal and what's the priority of your life and of my life? Do I seek to please man with the way I live? I want you to understand the word seek here that Paul uses. It's the same kind of word with the same kind of force that Jesus uses in the Gospel of Matthew when he says in Matthew 6:33, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God." Give it everything you've got. Put everything else aside and seek first the kingdom of God. So what does a God-centered gospel mean in that kind of a force of seeking in a personal practice? It means that those who put their faith in Christ alone become those who seek not to please people, but to please God with their lives. Are you ready? Here comes the really hard part. Really hard questions are coming now. I hope you'll just prayerfully listen and under the power of the Holy Spirit, prayerfully evaluate where you're at here. I want to talk to you for a few moments about not being a people pleaser with your life. Every society in this world is full of people who are caught in the trap of what the Bible calls the fear of man. Remember that verse I started with in Proverbs 29:25? The fear of man, I'll put it up there. The fear of man lays a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord is safe. We are naturally people pleasers. But Proverbs tells us very succinctly, very clearly, that to live being a people pleaser is nothing more than a very subtle trap to live that way. And you might say, well, Rich, how do I recognize that? I mean, how would I know if I'm a people pleaser or not? Well, people pleasers are people who have People pleasers have a difficult time expressing what's going on inside of themselves. That's one way to know whether you might tend to be a people pleaser or not. It can be extreme quietness, or it can be volcanic anger that just erupts. And there's a fear inside the people-pleasing person that they're no longer impressive to people. There's a fear about that. It's the trap. The fear of man lays a snare. And one of the snares is, I'm no longer impressive in people's eyes. How do you tell whether you're a people person or a people pleaser or not? Well, I can tell you one way to tell whether you're a people pleaser. It's by what goes on up here in your internal thought language. What nobody else hears, but what you hear going on inside of you. It's thoughts like this to know whether you're a people pleaser or not. If I say this, what will she think of me? If I do that, will he still love me? If I make that decision, will this powerful person in my life still be impressed with me? You see, people who have lived with an extreme tendency to be people pleasers, they very often have a hard time discovering what their very own opinion is inside of themselves. Why? Because their opinion has been so buried beneath a driving concern to adapt themselves to the opinions of others in order to please other people. The fear of man lays a snare, Proverbs says. That person, that individual is caught in the trap of people-pleasing. But whoever trusts in the Lord is safe, the writer of Proverbs says. You see, I think for the Christian believer, there's a good test for this question on whether I'm a people-pleaser or not. Ask yourself this. I hate this question because I get so convicted by it. Ask yourself, as a Christian, have you ever considered not telling a non-Christian about Jesus Christ because you were concerned that they may think less of you? Have you ever considered not telling a non-believing person about Jesus Christ because in your head you were concerned that they would think less of you? I know I have, and I am not proud of it. At those moments, I was being more of a people person than I ever dreamed possible. Listen, Paul is not asking, hear me on this, Paul is not asking us to stop pleasing people in the sense of being rude or insensitive to those around us. He's asking us whether our goal is, not whether our goal is to please people, or whether our goal is to please God and to seek God first in everything. Am I pleasing people or am I pleasing God? Fear the Lord, you His saints, the psalmist said, for those who fear Him have no lack. Psalm 34, verse 9. What's your goal in life? To please God or live to please people? I love this verse in Isaiah 33, 6. It really sums it all up when you're living to please God. Isaiah wrote from God as he was given it to him from the Lord, He will be the stability of your times, the abundance of your salvation, the abundance of your wisdom and knowledge. The fear of the Lord is Zion's treasure. You see, when you're seeking the Lord with all your heart and you're seeking to be a God-pleaser, which is the title of the message, the God-centered gospel, when you're seeking the Lord, it's the key to the treasure. It's Zion's treasure. The gospel is not made by man. It's not from man. It's not some legalistic addition to the Lord Jesus Christ. The God-centered gospel is the understanding that Jesus alone saves us, which means that we're justified, which means that we're right in the sight of God by faith alone in Jesus Christ alone. The only way I can be right with God is to trust solo in Jesus Christ. Keep trying to shift into Spanish there. Sorry about that. Or are you trying to trust in man with what you're doing in life? When we embrace the gospel, something happens inside of here in your heart. Your corazon changes. There's a revolution that takes place inside of you when you embrace the God-centered gospel. You're not the same. You're changed inwardly, supernaturally, by the power of the living God. When you embrace the gospel, you're no longer focused on people, but suddenly you're focused on the God who has saved you and rescued you from the dominion of darkness. When you focus on the God-centered gospel, you live peacefully and happily in God's kingdom. No longer in the kingdom of darkness, but you're in the kingdom that God has rescued you from and brought you into the kingdom of the Son He loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Colossians 1:13. You see, we can't please both God and man. It's like mixing oil and water. It does not mix. They're mutually exclusive of one another in the foundation of our heart. It just doesn't work to try to walk both sides of the path. And God would say, I'd rather that you were hot or cold than you would try to be lukewarm like that. For I'll spit you out of my mouth. We can't do spiritual prayers or religious deeds to impress people and expect to impress God. Our goal cannot be to please people. And when we make it our goal, when we make it our goal to be gospel-centered in our daily living, it sets us free from the trap, the snare of being a people pleaser. That's the freedom that Paul is talking about here in Galatians, as he's urging the Galatians to make the choice, don't add to the gospel, don't accept Mosaic legalism with the law, don't get circumcised, stand firm, don't adopt a legalistic stance to impress these Judaizers. Their perspective of the gospel is wrong, Paul says. It's based on man, it's not based on God. And to drive his point home, and he really drives it home, I think, when he says at the end of verse 10, if I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ. Whose servant are you? Whose servant are you? This is the whole key. And Paul makes it clear, I am a servant of Christ. And he would say later on in chapter 2, verse 20, I have been crucified with Christ, and I don't live any longer, but it's Christ who lives in me. Rejoice in that and be free in that from this bondage of people-pleasing. Is Christ living in you? Have you been crucified with Christ? Well, if you're here today having put your faith in Christ and you're showing the fruit of the Spirit in service to Christ, then be assured you are pleasing to God. He's so pleased with you. He's so pleased with you. But if you're not sure, after hearing this tonight and you want to be pleasing to God, then you need to put your trust in Christ and you need to become in Christ a servant of Christ. Look over for a moment at chapter 2, verse 16. Because Paul makes it absolutely clear what someone who is gospel-centered is. Galatians 2:16, know that a person is not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. No additions, no subtractions. It's not about works. It's not about doing all the right things. It's not about trying to impress people. What makes you right and acceptable and pleasing to God is solo faith in Jesus Christ alone. It's not works. It's not circumcision. It's not Buddhism. It's not Islam. It's not atheism. It's not moralism. It's not any law or legalistic perspective. None of that. It's Christ, and only by Him and only by faith in Him be reconciled to God, Paul says. This is a blessing, he would go on later to say in chapter 5, verse 1. This is freedom for your life. For Christ died to set us free, he later on tells the Galatians. It's the fear of the Lord, and in this fear of the Lord is a freedom from the fear of man. You don't have to impress men anymore. Just live with the goal to be God-centered, gospel-centered, impressing God, the one who's bought you and redeemed you and called you by His name for yourself, for Himself. Lay aside your goal to impress people. Lay aside your goal to impress people with your money and with your clothes and with your talents. And right now, put aside the people-pleasing poison in your heart, and in your heart, set aside Jesus Christ as Lord. Be a servant of Christ and find in Jesus Christ His offer of perfect freedom for you and for me. Because you know what? The name of the Lord is a strong tower. And there's freedom for everyone who flees into that name and is safe. Proverbs 18:10. There's freedom from the bondage of trying to wear yourself out from trying to impress people. Dear folks, you don't have to live that way. There's a better way. And it's the freedom that was bought and paid for you for you on the cross through the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you know, as we come to communion tonight, it's just a communion time, is just another great time to remember what's been done for us. I've had my head in Psalm 32 the last few days, and just so reminded again of the blessings that come through the forgiveness of God in our lives. Psalm 32 says this: "Blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven and whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord counts no iniquity and in whose spirit there's no deceit." See, I think if you're trying to please people, there's deceit in your heart. I mean, if you're really living to impress people instead of impressing God, I think the psalmist would draw it out and say, there's something in your heart that's not right. There's deceit. You're deceived. There's something wrong inside. He goes on to say, "For when I kept silent, my bones wasted away." That's what happens to a people pleaser. When there's deceit inside of you, your bones are just rotting away because you're always frustrated. You're always on the edge. You can't never quite make it to the top where you think it's going to get better, because every time you get near, boom, it gets kicked out from under you. You failed somebody else in your life. "When I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night, your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was dried up as by the heat of summer." But here it comes: "I acknowledge my sin to you, and I did not cover my iniquity. And I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin." There it is. There's a God-centered gospel. When I acknowledge my sin to the Lord, when I take that deceit that I know is inside of me and I openly lay it before God, God goes, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, He washes you clean from that deceit. And He makes you whole in His sight, pleasing to Him, free from the bondage and the captivity of that deceit. "Therefore, let everyone who is godly offer prayer to you at a time when you may be found, and surely in the rush of great waters they shall not reach him. You are a hiding place for me. You preserve me from trouble, and you surround me with shouts of deliverance." Let's bow together. Lord, the Apostle Paul says to all of us as we come to the communion table, let us examine ourselves before God. Let us ask the Holy Spirit to search us inwardly so that we don't partake in an unworthy manner. Let's let go before God of everything we need to let go of and lay it down once and for all in surrender. And if you're a people pleaser and you know it, lay it down before God and say, "God, I don't want to be that anymore in my life. I want to please you God alone with my life." To spend some time with the Lord in quietness.